I want to talk to you tonight about self-mastery. I doubt that there's anyone, until he came to the realization of his oneness with God, who has total self-mastery. A true master is one who, if he chooses so to use his will, can overcome any obstacle, can keep on and on and on until he conquers whatever goal he has set before himself to do. But there are many who come on the path, and they come to dissect the master. They put the master on the head of a pin. They try to decide whether or not the master is good enough for them to follow. They do not realize that the situation is quite the reverse, that the master has already paid the supreme price, and that it is up to the disciple to measure up. It is also the guru who chooses the disciple, not the opposite. And until people realize that, the work cannot begin. When we are brought into the world, we come with an automatic lock immediately. We come with an automatic lock of the unconscious, which brings us the remembrance of pain, of darkness, of light, of many, many things that we are not consciously aware of up until the time that we come into this human existence. There is but one mind in this world, and that is the mind of God. And every single thought, word, and action that each one of us puts forth from himself is registered on the page of life minutely. Everything that goes through your consciousness, across your vision, that you hear, that you see, that you smell, that you taste, that you feel, is registered in that great mind. And yet consciously, you cannot remember all of the things. Now, at one time, or in one hand, this coming into the consciousness of the conscious world is the coming into the idea that life has a beginning and life has an end. We know that we were born. We can remember certain instances that have happened in our life, certain events, and we don't look forward to it, but we know that one day we have to leave this body and go forth to a new life. But we have been taught in all of the Orthodox faiths, or most of them, that when we leave this body, that is the end of the earthly life. And in accordance with our behavior in this one incarnation, that we are sent to heaven, to hell, or to purgatory. I've covered this many times before. And so it is. Now, actually, the subconscious mind is the master because it has registered in it every single event, every thought, every word, every action that has ever happened. And this has been proven because the field of psychiatry, of psychology, has opened up a multitude of possibilities. Because people have had difficulty in their lives of overcoming certain problems, they finally have decided to probe the human mind and see what is causing some of these things. Now, they have proven beyond all doubt that you bury that which is hurtful to you, that which causes you pain. And that is what the psychologist, the psychiatrist, is out to relieve. So he puts you on a couch and he gently leads you back to the beginning of your childhood and tries to open the door of your memory so that he can draw this out. And with what the doctors have been able to do with the patient has established beyond all doubt that there is another mind that works all the time. For instance, we have talked about the fact that when you go to sleep at night, Your body still continues to function in every single detail except in the conscious mind. But the subconscious mind still has the knowledge of how to keep that body running at all times. Now, whatever you put into that subconscious mind with your conscious mind is what you're going to bring forth. There is no question of a doubt about it. Take the example, for instance, of a man who was born into a family where the father was an officer in the Navy. War came on, and he was inducted into the Navy and for active duty, and he was killed while on duty. Well, this one individual, shall we say, was the elder of three boys. So there was just the mother and the three boys, and so the elder son became the breadwinner. He thought that the only way he could earn his living was to go out and be a laborer. So he did whatever he could in the ordinary laboring field and felt the burden growing and growing and growing within himself of carrying on this business of supplying his family with food, with clothes, with all of the necessities of life. And he resented it. And because his mother was still alive, he resented her because he focused everything that was wrong inside of himself about her. Until finally, keeping on, even after the family was grown, the boys that were able to take care of themselves, keeping on still as a laborer without making any effort to improve his life, he developed a tumor at the age of 48 and died. Now, certainly, the idea that it is our Father's good pleasure to give us all of the good things of his kingdom didn't apply to this man, because this is a statement that God said. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you all of the good things of his kingdom. And yet this man felt himself terribly put upon. He didn't reach out for something higher, even after the necessity for being a laborer ceased. But he went on feeling sorry for himself, resenting the people around him, the people he had served, and finally died. Now that subconscious mind within you is the most powerful thing in the world. In fact, it contains everything, and everything stems from it without one single exception. And if your life, your circumstance, the place where you find yourself, the people you find yourselves with, are not satisfactory to you, you have the power to go inside of yourself and change that. You've got to find the key that will unlock that which you have locked up. Now you come into this world without the memory of that which has gone before, in most cases mercifully. And I say mercifully, advisedly. Although there has been great help given to people through the psychiatric, through the philosophical help that has come into being, nevertheless, there have been cases noted where, for instance, a regressionist, somebody who has the power to hypnotize an individual and take him back into his memory storehouse, takes him back into a situation that his conscious mind refuses to accept because the pain has been too great. And I've told you about this girl who had that experience where she was insane in one incarnation, and that she was regressed back into that, and she couldn't come out of it, and the man who had put her into that situation was not adept enough to take care of it, and today she is a broken human being. Think talking about the little men of Mars and of Venus. You have the power to master yourself. You have the power to change your life. You have the power of positive thinking and the power to feed into your subconscious mind exactly what you want to have come out of it. And it will work for you to an exact degree without fail. But the reason that you do not get the results is because you read a book on the power of positive thinking. You hear a sermon about that, about supply, about the surcease of pain, of whatever. And you put it into practice once or twice or three times, and you forget about it. and you go back to your old habit pattern. You're unable to break your habit of smoking because that habit has mastered you. And it says in here that you cannot serve two masters also. And then in this particular chapter, it says the disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master and the servant as his Lord. And that particular statement is a rebuttal or a refusal to acknowledge what the average Orthodox Christian brings forth today, that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God and the only Master. Because right here, Jesus himself in his own words said, it is enough for the disciple that he be as his Master. So that is an indication that if each one of us pick up our crosses and follow the Christ within us, that we have the power to become even as he has, an heir with Christ in God. All we have to do is to put forth the total effort. Now, what do you have to do in order to do that? You have to sit down and evaluate your life. You have to decide just exactly where you are and how you have followed things up. And if you will have the honesty and the courage to trace back in your own conscious mind the things that you said, the things that you did, where they all started, you will find, as a rule, that they start somewhere, certainly, and sometimes it is with yourself. And you want to put the blame on everybody else. You are afraid to acknowledge your own mistakes because you don't want to face up to them. You are afraid to make your own decisions because you don't want to be responsible for the results. And if you have somebody else, if you talk somebody else into making your decisions for you, to live your life for you, then if something goes wrong, you can always say, well, he told me to do it. She told me to do it. This is one reason I don't make decisions for people, because I make them spiritual cripples. Cripples in every sense of the word. I am not here to live your lives for you, nor to make your decisions, but to teach you the truth, to build the power of God within you, so that you can make your own decisions and live your own life and build it into a thing of glory. And you can do that by processing all of the things that you don't want, of blocking them out, of refusing to think about them, to speak about them, to do them, to acknowledge even that they exist, and instead program your mind with all of the things that you want to see happen. But you cannot and will not get the results that you want if one day you do it and the next day you say it can't be done, or you go back into your own habit pattern. It is literally impossible for you to do so, because you're canceling out that which you did constructively. One day you're up and the next day you are down. Now this subconscious mind is all powerful. It is the mind of God. And when you are regressed back into childhood, whether it be the psychiatrist, the psychologist, or a licensed hypnotist, you will find, and it comes out in tape recordings when the subject is under hypnotic influence, that you can even see the color of things, that it registered in your mind, even the fragrance of a flower, the movement of a leaf on the tree. Whatever it is, every little tiny speck of motion, of action, of thought form is registered on this book of life. It is there. But the conscious mind locks it out. This subconscious mind is huge. So you say, well, where does the conscious mind come in, and why mention it at all if the subconscious mind is so great? The reason is that the conscious mind is the master of the subconscious mind. Because that conscious mind of yours feeds into that subconscious whatever you want to put into it. And that subconscious mind has but one function, and that is to bring into practice, to bring into being that which you feed it. So if you think all the thoughts against God, if you feed upon the things of the senses, instead of putting the wonder, the beauty, the bliss, the love, the peace, everything that is good of God into your mind, you are going to get out of it exactly what you put into it. And the world today is an exact example of what I'm talking about, and every one of us knows it. You look what man has done, what he has done to his environment, what he has done to other people, what he has done to himself. And he thinks that he is being smart, that he's really living. And instead, he's building certain death for himself in every phase of his existence. Now, if we're going to be saved, if we're going to be among those that are chosen, if we are going to be among those that are left behind to start the new order, then it is up to each and every one of us to start now, to develop new habit patterns. And the way to do that is to refuse to put one single negative thought into your subconscious mind. Not to have a fear of being poor, of not being loved, of not having supply of anything in this world, of not even getting your God realization above all. Know that you're going to get it. Know that the whole heavens are open and that God is waiting there ready to pour forth his whole abundance upon you if you will open yourself to receive it and get rid of your fears and your doubts and your refusals to acknowledge him and his great gifts. It will never happen as long as you go on. And you blame everything in the world, even God, for what you refuse to do yourself. This is true of age. Man, in his pristine state, is ageless. But he has been had indoctrinated within his consciousness the idea that he is born and he has to die a certain time. And as he grows older, he's going to look older and he's going to become deformed and decrepit and everybody else. He sees everybody else doing it, so why shouldn't he think he's going to do that? But can't that be changed? Of course it can be changed. What do you think it means when it talks about having a new body in Christ? It means to crucify the old, the humanness, that conscious mind which feeds us all the doubts, which follows us up every moment. It means to crucify that, to pay the full price for that crucifixion and transform yourself into the Son of God. And that Son of God is heir to everything that the Father has because it is his good pleasure to give you all of the good things of his kingdom. But none of us open ourselves to receive it. Instead, we go around feeling sorry for ourselves. Look at me, pity me. See what I have to do. See what I have to put up with. There isn't one of us that isn't guilty of that in some form or other. And it must stop if our lives are to change. It's an amazing thing to think. But you know, just a small group of people have the untold power within themselves to change the world. If every single person in that group goes to work and thinks positively, that thinks that wherever they stand is going to remain firm ground, that wherever they are, God is there, and that his life is eternal, and they are that life, and that somehow or other, they know not, because that is up to him, they will be saved. It will happen because you have the power to move mountains within yourself. But the biggest mountain that you have to remove is this lethargy, this going along in a humdrum, ordinary existence every day of your life, just suffering through life, not really living at all. As I've told you before, I think I'm busier than anybody I know. I have more demands on my time, 7 days a week, just as long hours as is required of me. But I don't know of anybody that enjoys life any more than I do, because I know what life is all about. I had the courage to pay the full price. And I know that I am no longer subject to the law, because I have no fear of it. It doesn't matter to me about this body, because I know whatever happens, that I will live. I am that I am. and therefore that I am within myself is eternal because it is God. It is life. It is intelligence. It is power within me. I may change the garment, but I will live. But that tremendous faith, that tremendous power can change your whole life if you will but take the threads of your existence in your own hand and make them work for you, not go backwards. The cigarette smoker, he's addicted to it. He's a slave to it. He can't give it up. And really, it's very bad because even his body becomes permeated with this tremendous odor. And it's not very nice for a non-smoker to be around. But every day he's going to give it up so-and-so, and then he goes back to it. He hasn't got the will to get himself out of where he wants to be from and to put himself where he wants to be. And so it goes on and on, and he develops a guilt complex. And that guilt complex grows. And he gives his will to the cigarette, one simple piece of paper with tobacco in it, takes over and is the master. Isn't that ridiculous? And he puts drugs into his body that affect his brain. And then he wonders why he is having psychological difficulties. Then he wants somebody to bail him out from what he has done through the misuse of his own free will. Now, if he still has the consciousness, the intelligence, he can bail himself out. Because in the first place, he can make a firm commitment to God. And he can put all else aside and think about God alone. There's a story told, Master wove a beautiful story around it years ago, but I'll tell it as Swami Ramdas used to tell it, that one time the sage Narada was given to repeating the Lord's name, and he repeated it from early morning until late at night. All day long the Lord's name was upon his lips. It never stopped. But as he was doing this, he became very proud of the fact that he was repeating the name of the Lord all the time. And he thought, surely he must be the greatest disciple in all the world, the disciple of Vishnu. So he went to Lord Vishnu one time and he said to him, Lord, who is your greatest disciple? Thinking, of course, he must be the one. And Vishnu said, well, if you will go out into the country, he said, there's a simple farmer out there. He is my greatest disciple. You go and see him. So Narada thought this was a very strange request. How could a simple farmer be the greatest disciple of Vishnu when he himself was repeating the Lord's name all of the 24 hours of the day? But he went. And he went out and observed this farmer. The farmer got up in the morning and he said the Lord's name once. And then he went out and he worked all day long at whatever God directed him to do. He came home, he washed, he ate his meal, he sat down and read the paper or did whatever people do afterwards, and then he said the Lord's name once more and went to bed. Well, Narada thought this was the strangest thing he ever heard, that Vishnu would say that this man was his greatest disciple. He repeated his name only twice a day, and here he was repeating it constantly 24 hours a day. And still, where was he in the eyes of the Lord? So he went back to the Lord Vishnu and he said, Lord, he said, I fail to understand what you're talking about. How could this simple farmer who repeats your name only twice a day be your greatest disciple? He said, all right. He said, I'm going to give you a test. He said, I want you to go get a dish of oil and I want you to take it, walk around Vaikuntha with it, without spilling one drop. Now, if you can do that, he said, you will have passed the test that I gave you. So, Narada got the oil and went around Vaikuntha and very, very carefully watched and concentrated so that he didn't spill one single drop of oil. And he came back triumphant. My Lord, he said, I have accomplished it. Oh, he said, what did you think of, he said, when you were doing this? What do you mean, what did I think of? He said, I was so concentrated on not spilling any oil. I was so busy doing your command, he said, that I thought of nothing else but that. Oh, you didn't think about me even once, he said. He said, how could I do that when you gave me this tremendous task to do? He said, well, he said, that's why the farmer is my greatest disciple. He repeated my name only twice a day. But he said, then he went forth, and he never forgot me. And he worked for me, and he served me all the day long. But he said, you who repeat my name couldn't even go around the mountain once and remember me once. You had forgotten me in the one simple exercise of concentration that I gave you. So it is constant remembrance of God. Constantly, whatever you think of, whatever you do, think of him. My life is so filled with the thought of God that everything in this body and in this consciousness goes on automatically. And many times people will say to me, well, you said so-and-so, or you did so-and-so. I haven't the faintest recollection of it. And sometimes it's very embarrassing, but I don't remember what I said or what I did sometimes. And other times I have a memory like an elephant, so don't take a chance on it. He makes me remember whatever he wants me to remember about anyone, including myself. And that's true. Constant remembrance of God. But what I'm trying to say to you, that you have the greatest tool in the world. You've got all of the wealth, all of the supply, all of the love, all of the attention, all of the genius right within your own hand if you would only use it. And stop being negative. But to actually be the master. To be master over your little self. To not permit yourself to do the things that you do not want to do. And this starts with your thought process. There are many people who are absolute angels on the outside. You wouldn't think they ever broke a law in their life. And they don't outwardly. But inside. Oh, do they have a great time thinking sometimes. I know. I've had it practiced on me. Where I can get an individual thought down right to a gnat's eyebrow, as they say. And I have verified that. I have proven it. That I can get it. So I know that this is true. There is a tremendous power of transmission between one person and another, one person and a group. If you've got that power, that magnetism of God within you, and you've got it going positively and not negatively, you can move a world. Somebody said to me just the other day, or yesterday maybe it was, my God, what tremendous power you wield over so many people. Whatever you say, you can sway them. Well, as long as I sway them toward God, that's great. And I see the results of it. And I take individuals that come to me, and believe me, they need swaying in the right direction. But I was trained well for the job that I'm doing, because whatever has happened to me in my lifetime, whatever my own personal life pattern has been, the work that I have done out in the world, every single bit of it has trained me to do what I'm doing now. I had a whole selling course at one time, and I sold things over the telephone. And that requires real expertise, believe me, because you can't see the person. You know, every now and then, though, when there was I remember one time that there were 30 salesmen in a department where I worked, and there was a doctor who needed an additional line. I was working for the telephone company at the time, working in the telephone selling department there. And not one of those 30 salesmen had been able to sell this doctor on the fact that he needed additional service. And so for some reason or other, I was chosen to go out and make what they call a premise visit. And I came back with the sale in my pocket. Was I ever proud? A woman had beat a man, you know? And I'm not a woman's liver, so don't get the wrong idea. But it shows what you can do. You can win if you think you can win. And that's what the athletic coaches preach to all of their teams. Go out there and win. Don't ever think of defeat. You're going to win. And if they can get hold of that idea that they're going to win, they will win. And the reason perhaps that I have the ability to help you. I don't do it. I help you by suggesting to you, by teaching the truth, by guiding you, directing you, that you can do anything in the world is the fact that your lives have changed, that you have grown, that you become a tremendous group, that no matter who comes into it, they think you're great. They think you're beautiful people, that you're full of love and service, and so you are. I've got the greatest product in the world to sell, and that is God. And I love Him with all my heart and mind and soul and strength, and I love to sell Him. I don't go around with pamphlets. I don't go around ringing doorbells. I do, like it says, to go to a house and offer the gospel to them. But if they refuse it, I shake the dust of that house from my feet and take my peace and depart, because they're not ready yet. That doesn't make them not just as good as everybody else. It makes them not in the same grade of school. And so I never force anybody. I will help them where they are, because only in helping them where they are will they reach out on their own initiative to get something else. And if I let them be, it's human nature, you know, that if you push too hard, people back away. But if you let them think they have free will, free reign, they'll buy it every time. You know, there's a special sales line, and some of you have heard it. I tell people, I don't have any sinners. Oh, do they love that? Because nobody wants to think of themselves as being miserable sinners. They are all children of God, and I mean that with all of my heart. But they get so much of this business preached to them that you're born in sin. You're a miserable sinner. Repent, repent, repent. That all they can think about is to develop a guilt complex about the fact that they're miserable sinners. And I don't want that. When I say that, it's a good sales line, but it is the truth. It is the truth. I don't want you to think about your past mistakes. I want you to take hold of your life this moment. Live in the presence of God this moment and reach out for a beautiful, a wonderful future. You cannot change whatever you have been, whatever you have done in the past. And if you have overcome, if you have conquered, never mind raking it all up again. Because it isn't important what you have done, only that it has brought you to this moment, to wherever you are. And if you are on the path to God, and if you have changed your life, and you are living a good life, then whatever happened must have been good because it brought you to this moment. And recrimination never bought anybody anything. It upset you. I know. I've been through it. But I have the power to come out of it in a big hurry. I have the power to be master of myself. And I can be hurt so desperately that I could be in the depths of despair 1 minute and pull myself out and get on top of it and not let it affect me. Why? Because I have learned self-mastery. But I learned it through pain. I learned it through going through all of the things that it was not necessary for me to go through if I had been taught the power of positive thinking. If I had been taught to think only of the good and not of the bad. Because this power of God works in two ways, you see. It can work either for good or evil. And you hold the key to the lock in your own hand, each and every one of you, as to how it's going to work for you. Because you have free will, you have intelligence, you have reason, you have consciousness, and you alone of all of God's creation have that, so that you can change not only your world, but with a whole group massed together, wherever two or three are gathered together in my name, there shall I be in the midst of them, and you can move mountains. So in these troublous times, when our world is literally crumbling all around us, let us put a solid front forth in God. Let us put forth love. Let us put forth service. And let us above all know that we are going to be safe, that we are going to be around to help all of the rest of the world awaken to the consciousness that they were put here to find God within themselves and not just for their own petty amusement, which does nothing in most cases but to destroy them, body, mind, and soul. It is high time that we take a look at it. We don't have to think about it as something that's going to happen in the future, something that the prophets have foretold, something that the psychics, the geologists have described. It is here. It is here right now. But just think, this group alone and all of those who are on the path with us, if we will but put forth the effort, we can change our lives, we can save our lives, and we can help to save the lives of a multitude. And we can bring a new world, a new order into being. And it is going to happen just as sure as I'm standing here. I have told you for the past year what was going to happen, and you know that I told you the truth because you're hearing it on the radio, you're seeing it on television, you're reading it in the newspapers, you're hearing it on the street. It is here, and we have the physical evidence of it. It is prophecy fulfilled, and there will be more of it. Now, you can either cringe in fear and run and hide in a closet thinking something is going to happen to you, to destroy you, or you can stand straight and tall and take your lives in your hands and say, through God's will and with His help and His grace, I shall conquer all things. I will be a light unto the world, even as the Christ was, because He is that intelligence, that power, that everythingness within myself. And if I realize that I can really stand and say, I am that I am, and know that I am God in human form, then to me all things are possible. And that is not desecration, it is a fact, it is a promise, and it was given by the Christ. This is not my imagination. It is not something that I take credit for. I am quoting to you from the greatest. I am merely trying to imprint on your consciousness, burn it, if you will, the necessity for thinking positively by taking your lives in your own hands and making them go the way you want them. And in the midst of the greatest desolation, you can demonstrate plenty. You can demonstrate anything you want because you have the power of God within you to use, but not to abuse. What can I say to change the patterns of your thoughts, of your actions, more than that? I can't get inside of you and do it for you because I am not responsible for your thoughts, your words, or your actions. I am responsible for teaching you the truth, of guiding you, of directing you, of helping you in every way possible, but I cannot get inside of your mind. I cannot use your will and do it for you. That is something which you have to do. That's your part of the bargain. And in this sacred Kriya initiation, which is coming up, you must recognize that that's not a free ticket to heaven, that you take a vow to serve Christ in this line of masters once and for all, to relinquish all other teachings, all other teachers, and stick only onto this path of truth. This doesn't deny the fact that others are as great, not one little tiny bit. It is done for your protection. But that vow must be kept. And then I have to take a vow, in turn, to teach you the truth, to guide and direct you, to do my part. And I'm doing it to the more than my ability, believe me. If you knew how I wear my body out, if you could just get inside of me and feel how tired this body is, that sometimes it is so tired that it can't think, it can't even do anything when it sits. This is the truth, I tell you, because of the demands on it. And still it keeps going. Why? Because it is my will that my body obey me, that it does what I tell it to do, regardless of how it feels. Because I am the master. I am the boss. And I am not speaking of my little self, but the God inside of me. And it is so automatic. I have so surrendered to Him that whatever comes before me automatically, whether the body is able to do it or not, it does it. And when you come to that point, you will have arrived at a great height, a great distance, believe me. And it is total surrender to God. It is total proof that you gave him more than lip service. It's very easy to say that you love God. It is very easy to say, I want God realization. But is it easy for you to say, I would lay down my life for him? I will give every thought, every word, every action, every desire for him alone? Never mind me. Just, Lord, here am I, take me, do with me as you will. When you can come to that point, then God can really use you, and you are truly his servant. But also you serve best yourself, because when your life becomes that, it has been taken out of your human hands and put into the hands of the divine, and the bliss and the glory and the peace and the joy that you feel in that service for him is beyond human description. Whatever you need in words is given to you. You need not think of that which you shall say, because it is yours. It comes just like that. I know, because I watch it operate. And I sit with great humor sometimes and watch the acts that God puts on through this form. And they're really something, I know. He's a character in this form. And I can laugh the loudest and the hardest at whatever he does, which means that I can laugh at myself. And they say that's very healthy, to be able to laugh at yourself. When you take yourself too seriously, you've got a lot of growing to do. When you can relax and let go and let God do every thought, every word, every action for you and through you, then you don't have the responsibility. You see, you're always trying to get out of responsibility by having somebody else make your decisions for you, but you don't realize that if you gave yourself to him totally, that he makes all the decisions. He thinks the thoughts. He puts forth the words. He gives you the power of action. And he does the whole blessed thing through you. And he's the master. And he is your real self.